Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom everyone. This is Evangelist August Rosado with Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries. We want to welcome you to our program as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ at the rapture of the church. Well, folks, we want to thank you for tuning in to another broadcast of Today in Bible Prophecy Radio. I am your weekly host, August Rosado. I am the founder and director of Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries, and we are based here in Lincoln, Rhode Island. And I want to welcome all of you who take 45 minutes out of your busy schedule on the weekend and to join us on this broadcast as we look at current world events in light of biblical prophecy and how we believe that it is setting the stage for the next prophetic event on God's calendar, the rapture of the church. Now, every Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we come to you live. It may be right here from our home base in Lincoln, Rhode Island, or we could be somewhere else across the country or even around the world for that matter. We come to you live looking at a current world event and seeing a prophetic scenario that is being played out in that event that we believe is stage setting or setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. So we're on live every Saturday at 2:30 p.m., but for those of you who watch these videos on YouTube, it is not live. You're watching a pre-recorded broadcast. And so I also want to welcome all of the YouTube video subscribers, or if you just happen to find this video on my page, August Rosado, I want to encourage you to tune in live every single week, Saturday, 2:30 p.m. We also have set up a toll-free number for you to call in if you have a Bible prophecy question, and we will try to answer that prophecy question. The number is 877-659-8944, 877-659-8944. So if you feel you have a question and you'd like to call in, we encourage you to do that. We need to stay on our toes as well. Those in the past who have called have had some really, really good questions, and so we want to encourage you to do that. So go to my website, www.todayinbibleprophecy.org. You can click on the live link that will take you to this live broadcast. And while you're there at my website, sign up for our newsletters. They go out every single week. They're absolutely free. So you'll receive them every single week. We display the five leading news stories of the week. I give a prophetic scenario on one of those lead-in news stories, and you can look at our itinerary to see if we might be at a church near you talking about prophecy, and so we want to encourage you to do that. You can also follow me on the social networks. I'm on LinkedIn as Evangelist August Rosado. I am also on Facebook, simply August Rosado, and you can find me on Twitter, Bible_prophecy. That's Bible_prophecy on Twitter, or just simply August Rosado, and you'll see at Bible_prophecy. And so you can follow me on all of the social networks as well. And, of course, our Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel is coming up March 14th through the 24th, 2016. It will be an 11-day prophecy tour that will be Israel and Petra. And I will be teaching Bible prophecy on location. We take a small group with us between 15, 20 people because we want to make it personal for everybody. And so I would love to encourage you to join us in Israel for our Bible prophecy tour of the Holy Land. If you want more information about that, send me an email. My email is august.todayinbibleprophecy. That's one word, Today in Bible Prophecy. Prophecy spelled with a C, at gmail.com. If you have any questions or if you would like me to even return a phone call to you, provide your telephone number and I will call you back. or you can call up our tour operator, Christian Tours to Israel, and you can ask for Eyal Evan. Eyal Evan, their toll-free number is 1-888-300-3038. 1-888-300-3038. Ask for Eyal Evan, E-Y-A-L-E-L, Evan, E-V-E-N. Ask for Eyal Evan, let him know that you would like to join us on the Bible Prophecy Tour to Israel as well as Petra. We have a great price for the tour. It's 11 days, small group. We'll get to do more, see more. It's going to be a trip of a lifetime. And I want to encourage you to visit the land of Israel. Israel is one of the safest places that anybody can go to. Even though you have some isolated things going on over there right now, yeah, all of the Christians that I know that are going over there right now, despite all the stuff, they come back and they say, August, we haven't seen one shred of violence over there. Not, we weren't threatened or anything like that. So don't listen to the liberal media like CNBC or CNN or all these other guys. You know, they're biased against Israel. And so you need to experience the land for yourself. You need to walk in the land of the Bible yourself. You need to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, and allow the Bible to come alive to you like never before. And after 11 days, folks, you'll never read that Bible the same way again. So I want to encourage you to join us in the land of Israel. You can, again, go to my website, todayinbibleprophecy.org. Click on the itinerary, and it'll take you to the Christian Tours to Israel website. You can look at the itinerary, the cost, registration, everything is there. We have secured a good price for the tour of $34.50 per person. That $34.50 includes everything, your round-trip airfare. It includes your buffet breakfast, buffet dinner, daily. Everything's all buffet. Transportation, taxes, fuel surcharges, beautiful hotels and transportation in Israel. The fees to get into all the holy sites. I mean, everything is covered. And so we'd love to encourage you to join us there in the land of Israel, the land of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So what I'm going to do right now, and again, we want to thank all of you for tuning in on YouTube and watching our videos every single week. We haven't been doing it for a while, but we just started it up, and we are doing it again. And so I want to thank you for tuning in every single week to the brand-new videos on YouTube as we're doing the live internet radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to all the archives on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to Blog Talk Radio, punch in my name in the search engine, either August Rosado or Today in Bible Prophecy Radio. That's as we're known as Blog Talk Radio, Today in Bible Prophecy Radio. You can listen to all of the archives of our show. You can even download them if you want. We don't charge for any of this. You can download and you could make a CD out of it and listen to it on your spare time, take down some notes, and I just hope that we can be a blessing to all of you who tune into the show every single week. What I want to do right now is get into the story of the week, and what I want to do is I want to first begin with Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 27. Daniel 9:27 tells us this: and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Now, that's interesting. You need to underline that in your Bible, 1 week. But in the midst of the week, or in the middle of that week, it says, talking about the Antichrist, he shall perform the abominant of desolate to be complete. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. So it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. But in the midst of the week, he shall perform the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. This is what the Antichrist is going to do when he comes on the world stage and control of a future revived Roman Empire. That revived Roman Empire is described in Daniel chapter 2 as well as Daniel chapter number 7. There are four mountain peaks of Bible prophecy in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2 talks about the times of the Gentiles. Daniel chapter 7, the activities of the Antichrist. Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. Daniel chapter 11, the alignment of nations that will one day come up against the Jewish state of Israel. And we see these nations being formed right now that will one day attack the state of Israel. Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, a Russian-led Arab coalition of nations will attack Israel. Psalm 83, confederation of Arab Islamic states that will attack the Jewish people. And Daniel 11, 40 through 45 also has connection to Ezekiel 38, 39, as we see those nations in Daniel 11 prophecy that will attack the Jewish state of Israel. Daniel 9, 27 tells us the Antichrist will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So that tells us that in the future, the Antichrist will accomplish what world leaders could not accomplish over the years, over the centuries, for that matter. He will be able to pull off what world leaders today would say is impossible. And what is that? Bringing peace to the Middle East. Bringing peace to the Jewish state of Israel. Peace between Israel and the Islamic world, or peace between Israel and the whole world, for that matter. And he will bring a pseudo-peace to the Jews that they have so longed for. You know, I've been to Israel a dozen times. I'm going there again December 6th through the 23rd, 2015. That's just next month, for 2.5 weeks. And all I ever hear on the streets of Israel, or in Jerusalem for that matter, is all we want is peace. We're so sick of fighting wars. So he will confirm a pseudo-peace to the Jews that they have so longed for. He will confirm a peace that will bring 7 years of security to Israel. Now, you know, I hear this all the time. Well, he's going to sign a peace treaty. The Bible doesn't say that, folks. In Daniel 9:27, it doesn't say he will sign a peace treaty. It says he will confirm. He will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That word confirm in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word gerbar. Gerbar simply means to strengthen, to make solid, to actually give it teeth so that this can work between Israel and her enemies. So he will confirm a peace that will bring 7 years of security to the Jewish state of Israel. We know based on Daniel 9:27 that the Antichrist will break this treaty at the midway point of the tribulation period, and he will persecute the Jewish people worldwide, not just in Israel, in the state of Israel, but he will persecute the Jewish people worldwide. The last 3.5 years will take place after the beast, that treaty, and this will be at the midway point of the tribulation period. We know the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period is tribulation. The last 3.5 years would be known as great tribulation. Jesus talks about that great tribulation in Matthew 24:21. He says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 calls it a time of Jacob's trouble. And he says, "And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was." It's a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be delivered from it. So it's a time of Jacob's trouble, not a time of the church's trouble, because it has nothing to do with the church. This has everything to do with the Jewish people. It has everything to do with the nation of Israel. So it's a time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel 9:24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who's thy people? And upon thy holy city. Well, what holy city is he talking about? If it had something to do with Christians, he would have probably said, well, Washington, D.C. That's far from being a holy city. Or thy people, he would have just plain out said Christians. He doesn't. Thy people would refer to the Jewish people. I know that based on thy holy city. Well, what's the first holiest place in Judaism? Well, none other than the city of Jerusalem. As they say in Hebrew, Yerushalayim shel zahav, Jerusalem, the city of gold. Jerusalem is everything to a Jew. If a Jew's praying, in Rhode Island, Massachusetts, or whatever, that Jew always prays facing Jerusalem. Even in Jerusalem, they pray facing Jerusalem. Any synagogue that's built is built to face Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the number one holiest place to the Jewish people. It's not to the Arabs. It's not to the Palestinians. Jerusalem is the third holiest site in Islam. Mecca is the first holiest site in Islam, followed by Medina, number two, and then number three, Jerusalem. But folks, to the Jew, Jerusalem is the holiest place to the Jewish people. Daniel 9:24 says 70 weeks or a final 7-year period or a final week is determined upon the Jewish people and upon their holy city. Daniel 12:1 tells us, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, that would be the Jews, and there shall be a time of trouble. Michael will stand up for the Jewish people in Daniel 12:1, which is recorded, well, in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was there any place found anymore in heaven. We know based on Revelation 7:14, these are they which came out of great tribulation. So we know that this tribulation period is going to be 7 years in length. The last 3.5 years will take place after the beast breaks that treaty, and that will be at the midway point of the tribulation period. The tribulation period is referred to in Scripture as 1 week. That's Daniel 9:27. 1 week. That is that final 7-year period of tribulation to come. So we know that it is 7 years long. It will be exactly 1 week. Now, that's not referring to Monday through Saturday. This week is based on Jewish years. That is a 7-year period of tribulation to come. That period begins when the Antichrist will defy all odds, something that no world leader could do. And that is he will broker a peace treaty with the state of Israel, guaranteeing them their security during that 7-year period of time. He will defy all odds. Now, we know that there is a, and this is not a personal attack, folks. Please, I don't want anyone to misunderstand me, but I'm just bringing this up for the sake of bringing it up. Many today, like Irvin Baxter Jr., whose eschatology, I have to say, folks, is absolutely horrendous. Just horrendous. He says that the 1 week in Daniel 9:27 is not a 7-year period. He says that's a 3.5-year period. So he says the entire length of the tribulation period is 3.5 years long. Now, I would strongly disagree with Irvin Baxter Jr. And there is one verse that we find in the book of Genesis, chapter number 27 and verse 29, that would contradict Baxter's statement that the 1 week is 3.5 years. What I would like you to do, if you have your Bible, is I would like you to turn to Genesis chapter number 27, and I want you to notice something here with me, if you will, please. And again, if you have your Bible, have a pen, you could write this down. Genesis 27 in verse number 29. It's very, very clear that Jacob is working for Rachel, and she is he is desirous to have her. So he works 7 years for his uncle Laban in Haran. He fulfills that 7 years, but instead of getting Rachel, he gets Leah instead. So the deceiver got deceived by his own uncle. So then Jacob says, Uncle Laban, why did you deceive me? Did I not work 7 years for Rachel? Why did you give me Leah? Uncle Laban explains the terms to Rachel. We give the younger, not the older. He says, if you want Rachel, fulfill her week. That's exactly what he says. He says, fulfill her week, and then we will give this to you as well. We will give Rachel to you as well. Actually, I'm sorry. Turn that around. That's Genesis chapter 29 and verse number 27. Genesis 29 and verse number 27. I apologize for that. It says here, Genesis 29:27. Fulfill her week. If you want Rachel, fulfill her week. And we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve me yet 7 other years. So he says, Jacob, if you want Rachel, you're going to have to fulfill her week and work another 7 years. That's Genesis chapter 29, verses 21, 27. So we know the week here that Laban is using is the same week that we find in Daniel 9:27. The word week there is Shavuah. And that Shavuah means a period of seven. It's not 7 days. It's not 7 weeks. Folks, it's 7 years. So Genesis 29:27 is parallel to Daniel 9 and verse number 27. Irvin Baxter Jr. is absolutely wrong. It is not 3.5 years. It is 7 years. That 1 week is indeed a 7 year period based on what we read in Genesis chapter 27 and verse number 29. Genesis 27:29 confirms Daniel 9:27 as a 7 year period of time. Now, folks, when the beast confirms the covenant with many for 1 week, okay, that will begin that 7 year period. That will begin that 7 year countdown. We know that the 7 years of tribulation is 2,520 days. 2,520 days is exactly 7 years. Now, here's what we really need to understand, folks. Those years are based on the Jewish lunar calendar, which is based on the moon. It is not based on the Gregorian solar calendar that we use that's based on the sun. That's a solar calendar that we use. You cannot fit the Christian Gregorian solar calendar based on the sun into Daniel's 70 weeks of prophecy, folks. It's not going to fit. And I'm gonna get my point across here in just a few moments. The 7 years of tribulation is 2,520 days based on the Jewish lunar calendar, which is the moon. Now, doing a little math here, there are 360 days in the Jewish calendar. 360 days in the Jewish calendar with 30-day months. On our Gregorian solar calendar, based on the sun, we have a 365-day year with 31-day months. But the Jews have a 360-year calendar that's based on 30-day months. Now, 360 times 7 is 2,520. 360 times 7, as the tribulation period is 7 years long, 360 times 7 is 2,520. 2,520 or 2,520 days is exactly 7 years long. That's a 7-year period right there. So if you were to take the 2,520 and divide it by 2, you get 1,260 days. Math plays a very important role governing Daniel's prophecy of Daniel 9:24 through 27. So 2,520 divided by 2 is 1,260 days. That would be the first 3.5 years and the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The Christian calendar doesn't fit Daniel's 70th weeks of prophecy, which means, and here's my point, this has nothing to do with the church. This has nothing to do with the Christians. I don't understand why Christians want to put the church in the tribulation period. It's like they have a suicide complex. God doesn't put us in the tribulation period based on what I'm seeing in Daniel 9:24 through 27. Those are Jewish years, not Christian years. It has nothing to do with the church. Either God's about to put us in the tribulation period, or folks, we're simply not there. Remember, it's the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. It has everything to do with the Jews, Daniel 9:24. It has everything to do with Israel, Daniel 12 and verse number 1, Daniel 9:27. It has everything to do with the Jews, and it has nothing to do with the church at all. Those years are Jewish years. For example, if you try to fit our Christian Gregorian calendar into Daniel's prophecy, let's take 365 days a year based on our calendar, based on the sun, the solar calendar, the Gregorian calendar. 365 times 7 is 2,555. So our solar calendar adds 35 days to Daniel's prophecy. Folks, it doesn't fit. If we divide 2,555 by 2, then we get 1,277. Not 1,260, 1,277. So the Gregorian solar calendar adds 17 days. It doesn't fit. It just simply doesn't fit at all. When we take the Bible for its plain sense, literal meaning, when we conduct inductive Bible study, that's simply comparing Scripture with Scripture, just like I just did with the 1 week of prophecy in Genesis 29:27, Daniel 9:27. We compare Scripture with Scripture. We take the Bible for its plain sense, literal meaning. Let the Bible interpret the Bible, folks. It doesn't need your help. It doesn't need my help. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. Look for a literal interpretation behind all of the symbolism that we find in Daniel and what we find in the book of Revelation. You must look for a literal interpretation behind that symbolism. When you do that, doctrine will fit like a hand in a glove. The problem is we've got too many Christians out there today spiritualizing the Bible to death. Listen, when you spiritualize the Scripture to make it fit your form of doctrine, you are making the Scriptures subjective. Not objective, subjective. You are opening up the Scriptures to all types of speculation and to all types of doubts. Allegorizing, spiritualizing the Scriptures is absolutely, extremely dangerous. The Bible interprets the Bible. Inductive Bible study, folks, compare Scripture with Scripture. We call this the science of hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is explanatory or interpretive interpretation. It's who's speaking, who is he speaking to, and what is he speaking about. If Christians were to follow a proper hermeneutical principle, they would have no problem with doctrine whatsoever. But because you have those in the church that go on a spiritual heyday when studying prophecy, they come up with any type of doctrine that they want. to fit their form of doctrine. They're in the driver's seat. They're in control. They're determining what the scriptures are saying, rather the word of God itself. And again, folks, this is very dangerous, and we need to be careful. Look at the scriptures for their grammatical, historical, and very important, literal interpretation. The Christian calendar doesn't fit the 70 weeks of prophecy, which means this has nothing to do with the church. Now, there are three peace treaties on the table today as I speak that Israel has signed, but they've never really been normalized. One of them is simply dead in the water. We have the 1979 peace treaty between Israel and Egypt. Now, Israel has a peace treaty with two Arab nations today, Egypt and Jordan. Israel signed a peace treaty with Egypt in 1979. They've never been normalized. Never been normalized. Then in 1993, Israel signed a treaty with the Palestinian Authority. We call this the Oslo Accords. That is just simply dead in the water. I mean, it's sunk to the bottom. And then in 1994, we have the Israeli-Jordanian peace treaty. Never been normalized, folks. There's a solid, cold peace between Egypt and Jordan right now. And then, of course, the Oslo Accords, gone, just simply dead. Somebody has to come on the scene, take one of those treaties, and confirm it. That's what Daniel 9:27 says. He will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. He will make that peace treaty work. And then he will guarantee, so-called, guarantee Israel 7 years of security and peace. That's why Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 8 says, when they're dwelling in the land safely, that's that peace treaty of Daniel 9:27. Ezekiel 38:11 says, when they are dwelling in unwalled villages. In other words, Israel lets down their guard, they put down their weapons, and they trust their security to this Gentile world ruler in Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, the beast that comes up out of the sea, which would refer to the Sea of Nations, the Gentile nations of the world. He's that little horn of Daniel chapter 7 and verse 8, the willful king of Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36. The worthless shepherd of Zechariah, chapter 11. The Antichrist, 1 John 2:18. The beast, Revelation 13:1. He goes by 27 different names in the Bible. So there are three peace treaties on the table right now. They've never been normalized. They're not working. Someone has to take a worthless piece of paper and get a bar. Confirm it. Make it work. Strengthen it. Solidify it, and then look at the Jews and say, I've guaranteed you 7 years of peace. Go and build your temple. But it's in the middle of that week, in the midst of the week, based on Daniel 9:27, he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Folks, it's interesting that President Obama just recently made this statement, and I'm reading this from a secular news website. I don't take any of my news stories from prophecy websites or Christian websites for that matter, because, well, unfortunately, they like making a mountain out of a molehill. But I like taking all my stuff from secular websites, taking it from the horse's mouth. President Obama said this. He said, peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians are unlikely during the remainder of my term. He says, I've tried to bring peace between Israel and the Palestinians. And what he's saying without actually saying it is, well, I failed. So he says, the likelihood of peace between Israel and the Palestinians will not happen for the rest of my term. And, folks, he still has, I think, about 13 months left in office. And he says he simply doesn't see peace between Israel and the Palestinians during his term. But, folks, the Bible makes it very clear. that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, sometime after the church has been raptured, he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. He will actually make it work. He will do the impossible that world leaders like, well, you heard from President Obama himself, during my term, I don't see a peace between Israel and the Palestinians. Antichrist will defy all those odds, and he will say, I am the one to bring peace. And he will do that when he confirms the covenant with many 1 week. Folks, this is exactly what we see happening right now. And not right now, but we're actually seeing the seeds being sown for this right now. You know, according to this news reporter said, amid a pessimistic view expressed by United States President Barack Obama over the likelihood of an Israeli-Palestinian peace deal during his term, 4 more Israelis were injured Friday in 3 Palestinian terrorist attacks in Judea and Samaria. Hey, they didn't use the West Bank. I don't like that term, West Bank. Judea and Samaria is the biblical term for that. We should always refer to that area of the land in central Israel, Judea and Samaria. Never call it the West Bank. That's not biblical. Judea and Samaria. The Israeli Defense Force prevented a 4th attack by, shooting dead a Palestinian terrorist. And then, of course, you know, the president is saying that pretty much I failed on my watch to bring peace between Israel and the Palestinians. It said that Obama and Netanyahu, who have a history of disagreements, and will be meeting for the first time since the U.S. and the P5 plus one nations reached a nuclear deal with Iran in July, will discuss ways to de-escalate altercations between Israel and the Palestinians in the absence of a peace agreement. Well, there is an absence of a peace agreement right now. But that's going to be short-lived when the beast of Revelation 13:1 comes on the scene. And he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's a 7-year period of tribulation to come. The 2,520-day countdown. The rapture doesn't begin the tribulation period. It's between the rapture and the tribulation period, that gap of time, that Antichrist will come on the scene, the covenant with many for 1 week. And then in the middle of that week, he'll break that peace treaty. And he'll begin persecuting Jews worldwide and all those around the world who refuse to worship him and who refuse to take his identification, that 666 in Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, or what we would call the mark of the beast. So, folks, we sage is being set right now for this prophecy to be fulfilled in the not-too-distant future. Or as one prophecy teacher said, the stage is set. The actors are in place. And the curtain is about to go up on the end-time drama. Because, folks, we know the next prophetic event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. I'm so glad that nowhere in the New Testament does it tell us as the church to look for the Antichrist. Bible doesn't say that anywhere in the New Testament. Heads up, Antichrist is coming. Find a place to hide. Fall under a rock. Find the nearest cave. Grab a porta potty and some dried food. Bible doesn't tell us that anywhere in the New Testament. Nowhere does it tell you and I to look for the Antichrist. But folks, it tells us in many areas in the New Testament that we are to look to Jesus Christ. Look for Jesus Christ because he is the promise of our blessed hope. The world is not our blessed hope. The government is not our blessed hope. Man is not our blessed hope. But Jesus Christ is our blessed hope. And the Bible says, we look to to him. We look up into the heavens. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Based on what I read in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, and what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, I don't think the church is going to be here. I've looked at all the arguments. I've heard all the arguments. I've debated all the arguments. And I'm convinced in a pre-tribulation rapture, based on the grammatical, historical, and literal interpretation. And nobody is going to show me anything else. Those are my convictions. That's where I stand, unwavering. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or arrogant or anything like that. But folks, I've heard it all. I've heard it all. Nowhere does the Bible tell us to look for the Antichrist. We are told many times to look for Jesus Christ. He will call his church out of the world before the beginning of that final week, Daniel's 7 years of tribulation, the 70 weeks of prophecy. Maybe you're listening to or watching this YouTube video or listening on Blog Talk Radio Live, or maybe listening to the archive show. And you're saying to yourself, if Jesus was to return right now, I would probably be left behind. Or if I was to die right now, I don't think I'm on my way to heaven. Folks, you can change all of that. It's as simple as ABC. A, admit you're a sinner. We're all sinners. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody is a sinner. No matter what type of religious garb they put on, everybody is a sinner. So, A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 10:13. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must repent of your sins. Repentance means change of heart, change of mind, change of attitude. Repent of your sins. Call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your heart, forgive you of all your sins. Seek, confess your sins. That's Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You don't confess to a man. Confess your sins to God. And when you do that, he'll change you. He'll transform you. He'll make you a new creature. He'll make you a new creation in Christ. And you'll be ready for either one or two things, either death or the next prophetic event on God's calendar, the rapture of the church. If you made that decision, I want to hear from you. Send me an email or contact us, the social networks, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and let us know you made that decision so that we can rejoice with you. Folks, as I bring this broadcast to a close, don't forget our tour to Israel is coming up March 14th through the 24th, 2016. It's an 11-day tour. If you want more information, call our tour operator, Christian Tours to Israel, toll-free, 1-888-300-3038, 1-888-300-3038. Ask for our agent, Eyal Evan, E-Y-A-L, Eyal Evan, E-V-E-N, Evan. Let him know you want to come to Israel with us, or send me an email, todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. And any questions that you would have, I would love to answer those questions for you. And don't forget to join in next week as I look at a news event to show that the Lord Jesus is about to return. Keep looking up. He's coming soon. Shalom.